Technorama episode 566, The Cold Realities of Time Travel. And there we go. I should have used the 10-second one, not the 15-second one.
So I know. Are we going with the extended version?
No, the standard version is too long. Oh,
or the dance remix version.
There we go. The EP.
The 12-inch version.
Dance remix.
Yeah.
Welcome to Technorama. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, thank you. Thank you very much. I know that some people have been around since the way back days. When we were just a wee podcast in 2005, and thank you for joining us all along, because you returning people and the new people, if it weren't for viewers and listeners, we wouldn't really have a reason to do this. I'm Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and joining me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be back in the saddle, because with all the time I've had, you know, I've got my room all organized, everything's all straight. You know, I know what I'm doing, and now I'm ready to get disorganized again and get back into podcasting.
And before we get too much further, I want to just wish you happy Father's Day.
Same to you, Chuck, and same to all you listeners out there.
And I just realized I forgot we have voicemail on this show.
And he's actually listening. He's actually viewing the show.
He is. Okay. Well, yeah. This will be.
So we can get live tweets. Meta. We can get live tweets from Joe as we listen to his voicemail.
Let me get to the right folder, because I forgot to drop these into my voicemail player. Not topic is Trek. Technorama. Here we go. See, it's been a while. Out of practice. I had everything else. Donna's all set up. She didn't have any technical glitches before we started the show.
My excitement is starting to wane, Chuck.
Shh. Hush. It's drag, drop, drag, drop. Here we go. Voicemail. Right. Ah, now I'm feeling the love.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today.
Reach right out and pull one out.
Those letters.
I miss that.
I love those letters. Let's find out what you got to say.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
That still sounds like Men and Gay.
Mail today.
Hey, Chuck, you tickle those keys really good. You tickle those keys really good.
I tinkle them well. Yes, I do. Let's play the first one.
Hi, guys. It's Crazy Joe from Megapodtastic. I just listened to the podcast from, I think, April 23rd. Yes.
I think.
Yes, I'm behind. I blame Clinton.
You didn't miss much.
That's why I'm behind. So, you guys said no one's called the listener line in a while, and you wanted to make sure it was working. So, here it is. I'm calling to test the listener line.
It's working.
This is a test. Is it working?
No.
All right. Have a good day. Love you guys.
I didn't hear a thing.
Miserable failure. Right. Thank you, Joe. Has another call in related to, I believe this was in our last episode.
Nothing improves a Monday morning like the beautiful tones of Craig Stepp's voice telling me that I'm caller number 9. And then he yanks the rug out from under me and says I'm not. Hey, guys, it's Crazy Joe.
Psych.
From Megapodtastic. Ding. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you, you guys were talking about the Griswold family truckster.
Yes.
And I thought I would give you guys just a little bit of trivia that maybe you knew, but maybe you didn't. Did you know that the Griswold family truckster appears in the opening credits of every single episode of Married with Children? It's true. It's true. Married with Children was set in Chicago. And that was the starting point of the Griswold family's trip from Chicago to Wally World. And the producers of Married with Children were using aerial shots of the city of Chicago for the opening credits, establishing. But then there's a shot of the freeway. And it's a shot of stock footage from the movie National Lampoon's Vacation. So if you're watching the opening credits of Married with Children, when they show the freeway, if you look, you'll see the Griswold family truckster getting off the ramp, because it was footage from the movie that was then repurposed in the opening credits of Married with Children. So that's your Griswold family truckster trivia for the day. Hope you enjoyed it. Keep wearing those pajamas.
You are in error.
Slightly in error. So, thanks, Joe. I had to do a little research. Not that I didn't trust you, but I wanted to check it out myself. So I went onto YouTube, and the first clip I found did not have the freeway shots in it. Turns out they only used that in seasons 1 through 4, and I believe there were a total of 10 seasons, which is really funny when you watch David Faustino go from, like, 13 to 23.
Yeah, he's like a little kid. And, all of a sudden,
and then he's shaving. I mean, he always acted like he was older than he was. Donna and I watched that show probably for the first 4 seasons when we were first married, because it came out in the, what was it, the late 80s? And it, like many shows, it just kind of got a little old. It outlived its usefulness for us. And the tie back, of course, is Katie Sagal plays Leela on Futurama. There you go.
You know, I think I watched a lot of Married with Children when it was during its first run.
Yeah. And the family truckster is in there. If you look, it's not on that first shot where they're looking, the aerial shot of the freeway looking into the city, but it's on the next one where there's a clover leaf and you can see, yep, there's a little green car down there.
I'm going to go check it out, because I never noticed it before, or at least I wasn't looking for it.
The later ones, they shorten it up because they don't even start saying the words love and marriage. We should have done that at karaoke yesterday. That would have been fun.
Why did that come in
at 20 seconds on the old one. So there's a lot more music in there. So they shortened it up and they took out those two scenes.
Yeah. Yeah, they did shorten. If I do remember right, they did shorten the intro later on, I think.
Yeah. Because they did the Chicago scenes, and then the title comes in with the green slime dripping off the word married. That comes in immediately, like after the fountain shot. So it's
Nickelodeon?
What? Slime.
Yeah.
Should we do the history thing since we're already?
Let's see if we can handle it.
All right. Let me get back to the right soundboard here. And there we are. On this day in history for 2019-06-16.
Okay.
19. This is the 170th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 195 days. Oh, we're past the halfway point.
Whoa. Oh,
almost. 183. Sorry, we're almost. We've got a few more days. End of the month. I thought I reversed those numbers. It was on this date in 1586 that English colonists leave Roanoke Island after failing to establish England's first permanent settlement in North America. You have failed. You go home.
Yeah. 173 years ago today, the first officially recorded organized baseball game was played under Alexander Cartwright's rules on Hoboken, New Jersey's Elysian Field with the New York Baseball Club defeating the Knickerbockers 23-1.
Those Knickerbockers, they just can't cut it.
I see what happened. Cartwright umpired.
Well, he wrote the rules. Wouldn't that make sense that the guy who writes the rules does the first ump?
I guess especially the first game.
What are you going to do? Argue with him? You're wrong. Yeah. Like, these are my rules.
I can change them.
Yeah. Maybe that one about riding a pony just needs changing a little bit.
Right.
On June 19th, 1862, the U.S. Congress prohibits slavery in the United States territories, nullifying Dred Scott versus Sanford.
Eat the big one, Elizabeth.
Yeah. Hey. All right. Also today in 1865, over 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, slaves in Galveston, Texas, United States, are officially informed of their freedom. The anniversary is still officially observed in Texas and 41 other contiguous states as Juneteenth.
Juneteenth. I like that. I also like the fact that it's 1862 to 1865 and it says over 2 years after emancipation. Now, I might be getting the dates wrong here because Congress prohibited slavery. That probably wasn't the same date as Emancipation Proclamation. But what are the people in Texas doing? Don't tell them.
Yeah. Just wait until it's official.
It was 109 years ago today that the first Father's Day celebrated in Spokane, Washington.
It was also on this date in 1915, the USS Arizona, your state's namesake, BB-39 is launched.
He was in Star Wars. Just didn't get BB-39. A lot of screen time.
He was a stunt bot.
It was 85 years ago today that the Communications Act of 1934 establishes the United States Federal Communications Commission, or FCC.
Yes, and things haven't been the same. 70 years ago today, the first ever NASCAR race was held in Charlotte Motor Speedway. I was reading that like I was going to keep reading.
As part of the Cold War, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, we remember those names, of course, for the stolen Soviet secrets, nuclear. Mm-hmm. They are executed at Sing Sing in New York on this date in 1953.
In June 19th, 1964, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 is approved after surviving an 83-day filibuster.
I always like that
in the
name.
United States Senate.
Filibuster.
Yeah.
Also, today in 1978, Garfield. You know, that comic strip that made its debut and later went on to become the Guinness World Record for the most widely syndicated comic strip.
Yes, it was. And probably still is to us. I don't know how syndications actually work nowadays, but yep. Also, on June 19th, 2012, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange request asylum in London's Ecuadorian embassy for fear of extradition to the United States ever after the publication of previously classified documents, including footage of civilian killings by the U.S. Army.
What a swell guy. That same date in 2018, the 10 millionth United States patent is issued. 10 million. And that was 1 year ago. Wow.
Yeah.
Happy birthday goes on this date. You wanted. This is where it gets dangerous. We've got a lot of great names in here. So
you go and take the first one.
Okay. Happy birthday. you see what's next. French mathematician and physicist Blaise Pascal, born in the state in 1623. He also invented the Pascal programming language. It's a fact.
Yes. And Joseph Diaz Gargoni, the French, Garon, right? The French mathematician.
I think it's pronounced move on.
Move on. Garon, I don't know. The French mathematician and philosopher was born 248 years ago today.
Friedrich Schuntner, the German chemist and pharmacist, was born on the same date in 1783. Oh, they get better. Wait.
Frankenstein. Anyway, Italian astronomer and academic Antonio Abetti was born on this date in 1846.
English physicist, engineer, and academic Sylvanus P. Thompson was born 168 years ago today.
And born June 19th, 1874, Danish physicist and engineer, Peter Olof Pedersen.
I think since his first name is Peter, his second name is also Peterson, if it's spelled the same way.
Peterphile.
Mo Howard of the Three Stooges. He's the American comedian. He was born on this same date in 1897.
Wow. That's hard to believe.
He was a fairly old gentleman when he did that slapstick stuff.
Yeah. Well, at least...
The band is leaving. 50.
What's that?
The band is leaving.
English chemist and academic Nobel Prize laureate, Cyril Norman Henslowood.
We'll start the band over.
Was born 122 years ago today.
Born June 19th, 1910, American chemist and engineer, Nobel Prize laureate, Paul Fleury.
I was looking at the wrong one. No, Age Bohr. The Danish physicist and academic Nobel Prize laureate was born 97 years ago today.
Also born on the same date, American mathematician and inventor Erna Schneider Hoover.
And Viktor Paisayev, the Kazakh engineer and astronaut, was born 86 years ago today.
What is so hard about saying Paisayev?
Paisayev.
American actress Felicia Rashad is 71 today.
And American actress Kathleen Turner was born on this date in 1954.
American singer, songwriter, dancer, actress, and presenter Paula Abdul is only 57?
Only. I thought she
was much older. You got to remember, she was doing this stuff back in like 89.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
So she was in her, early 30s, maybe? Okay.
Maybe. Also turning 55 today is British journalist and politician and former mayor of London, Boris Johnson.
Also born on the same date in 1976, American businessman co-founded Foursquare, Dennis Crowley. Crowley. Oh, sorry.
It's all right. And last but not least, also turning 41 today is American actress Zoe Saldana.
She's green. And that's the way it was on this day in history for June 19th, 2019. Let's get into the listener birthdays while the band is still doing their double time.
Yeah.
Paying them overtime
today.
Keep going. Listener birthdays this week include June 19th, Steven from Wichita, Kansas. Askie Adam from The Hook Show on the 21st. The 22nd has two birthdays. We already mentioned one of them. Lance Heath, podcast pioneer, and Jack Stevens. Happy birthday to both of you. Oh, a third one. Who snuck that in? Chris Martinez from Scotland. Happy birthday. Mark Shepard is on the 25th, also from Wichita, Kansas. Wow, we get two Wichita birthdays this week. Pretty cool. We don't have to tell how old he is because he put in 1957.
Yeah. Do the math.
That way he doesn't come back and say, oh, I'm not 40 anymore. Like when this podcast started.
Yeah.
And finally on the 25th, also Jim Gookin from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Thank you very much. If you want to get your name on the birthday calendar, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki, just like it says right there on the bottom of the screen. I like the Grant Pachoco thing.
Yeah, there it is.
That brings our advent calendar total up to
ding ding.
And we would appreciate it. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. If it's your birthday and you didn't make it on the wiki this week, well, happy birthday to you all the same. And we look forward to talking to you again real soon. So out with the band. Thank you, band. Bye. Really, they just recorded once and we don't pay them anymore. Is it time for the news?
Sure.
I like this news. This is really, I'm glad you found this. Let's see.
Good news, everyone.
It is good news. Why don't you take the first story?
Yeah, so the... Hold on a second. Video started playing right away.
Did you watch this movie?
I have not seen it yet, and I am going to make an effort to do that. Because okay.
You'll enjoy it.
Oh, you've seen it?
Yes, I saw it on the flight back from Israel last month.
Oh, okay. So the black women who did NASA's math used to be hidden. Now the street is in front of its headquarters is named for them. And I did know about this because I think we've seen other women that were mathematicians, but I didn't know exactly about this. And I was not aware of the movie at first.
The movie is called Hidden Figures. So
yes,
take that in.
Yeah. So for decades, the contributions of black women or black female mathematicians who helped get NASA astronauts into space stayed essentially hidden. Not anymore. Now you'll be reminded of
my online plate too. Why do people do that? Why do websites do that? Come on, CNN.
I hate that. I know. I hate that. That's the crappiest thing. Not anymore. Now you'll be reminded of what women did before you pull into NASA's headquarters. So Hidden Figures Way street sign is unveiled at a dedication ceremony Wednesday. This last Wednesday, one of the first Wednesdays in June. At the NASA headquarters in Washington. That's because the street on which the building sits is being renamed Hidden Figures Way. The new name honors the work of Katherine Johnson, Dorothy Vaughan, and Mary Jackson, the so-called human computers who did complex calculations that made space travel possible. I couldn't say this. I cannot be more excited for this. I think this is a great thing.
The only way I'd be more excited is if they each got their own street, but it's okay.
Yeah. At first, I was like, why didn't they name it after somebody? But I understand why, and I think this is great.
Are they just riding the wave of publicity from the movie? And would they have done anything if the movie hadn't done so well? Those are the questions that ran through my mind. But I'm glad to see them get the recognition. So duly reserved. If you hadn't seen the movie, go look for it. Hidden Figures. I don't think it's on Netflix yet. I think it just came out in the theaters a little while ago. And as I mentioned, I caught it last month on an airplane, which means it's still fairly recent. Very good movie about these very intelligent women who really didn't get their credit. And they had to claw and fight for everything. Just watching it as it plays out in the era of civil rights, as it plays out in the era of women equality. And it was really, really well done. And watching, I think it was Dorothy was the one when She wanted a supervisor role. I'm not going to lay too much out on the table, but she recognized what was coming and how to adapt to survive in that. Because obviously we don't have human computers anymore. The original term for computer was referred to a person, not the machines that we think of today.
Oh, somebody computing.
Yes, you need to make a computation. We need you to compute. Therefore, you are a computer, just like employee and employer. Anyway.
So, actually, when I saw the story before I actually read it, I realized that it was a book. So I put the book on my list to read.
Oh.
And then I was like, oh, it's actually a movie.
I'll bet the book is even better.
Is it not a book? I thought
you had the book.
No, I hadn't gotten it yet. I said I put it on my list to check out because I think it's actually a, I thought it was a book. So I went, oh, I'll put that on the list because that sounds great.
All right. And then I'm going to look on Amazon real quick. Amazon Hidden Figures. Oh, well, look, it's recommending that I get Podcasting for Dummies.
Well, what do they know?
I got an off-color story to tell you when the mics are off.
I thought it was a book. Yeah, it's loosely based on a nonfiction
DVD,
book.
Blu-ray, Kindle hardcover, yes. Hidden Figures, The American Dream, and the Untold Story of Black Women Mathematicians Who Helped Win the Space Race. By Margot Lee Shetterly. Very cool. So you can get it in a number of formats. I enjoyed the book very much.
Yeah, I started to say I was proud, but at the same time, I had nothing to do with this. So, I think when you say, oh, you're proud of your kid, you had something to do with it. But this, I think, is just fantastic that NASA took the initiative and gave us credit.
Absolutely. All right, I'm going to take over the next story on Compact Fusion. This came to me via my sister-in-law's husband, Robert, when we were in Michigan a couple of weeks ago. And he said, hey, did you hear what Lockheed Martin is doing with fusion? And I went,
well, do tell.
I thought fusion was dead on the table. But it's no secret that the Lockheed Martin Skunk Works team often finds itself on the cutting edge of technology. As they work to develop, this is from LockheedMartin.com. As they work to develop a source of infinite energy, our engineers are looking to the biggest natural fusion reactor for inspiration, the sun. By containing the power of the sun in a small magnetic bottle, new police song?
Thing has nothing to do with this.
Okay. We are on the fast track to developing nuclear fusion reactors to serve the world's ever-growing energy needs. More than 50 years ago, nuclear power through fission was the excitement of its day. And there's a video with one of the engineers that helped build this out. So I encourage you to go to chuckchat.com/technorama. Look for the show notes for episode 566. Click through that and you will find this article and you can play that video very, very easily. Or just look for Compact Fusion on the Lockheed Martin site. So that was the excitement of the day. People tried using it to power almost everything, even planes. Can you imagine a fission reactor on an airplane? Well, in the end, operational hurdles prevented fission from widespread use. While fission continues to power our nuclear reactors today, fusion offers a cleaner, safer source of energy. Fission occurs when an atom is split into two smaller fragments, creating an explosion of sorts, and the result is the release of heat energy. Fusion is the process by which a gas is heated up and separated into its ions and electrons. When the ions get hot enough, they can overcome their mutual repulsion, because, like charges repel, and collide, fusing together. When this happens, they release a lot of energy, about 1 million times more powerful than chemical reaction and 3 to 4 times more powerful than the fission reaction. So nuclear fusion, they go over some of the details in here, and I encourage you to watch the video, but they're taking something that would be the size of a building, and they're putting it into the size of a semi-tractor trailer, with an 18-wheeler.
Yep.
And that means you can get it more places, and even possibly put it on an airplane. So you could get 100 megawatts of energy, enough to power, quite a bit. I don't know if that's a small town or a big town or... Robert told me, but now I forgot. That very intriguing article and video. I encourage you to go. This is not future. I mean, that far off in the future.
Yeah, they were trying to make it smaller. I kept thinking of Iron Man's the arc reactor he was using.
Because the guy they were talking huge. To, yeah, it started up pretty huge. And he had to carry
it was huge.
Around that
the
car
one
battery.
In the first movie was huge, but he, you know, worked it down to a small thing in his chest with a box of scraps in a cave.
Science fiction is coming to play here. Right. And it's not that far off. He said, you know, we expect to have a working model commercially viable in 5 to 10 years. And he said, this will be done and online and in the real world before I can retire. So I'm going to have to find another project after this one. Gee, buddy. That means I hope to see it before I die. So
keep your resume dusted.
Fusion. Now, I couldn't help when I watched that video thinking about how 30, 40 years ago, people were saying, you know, fission, nuclear energy is a clean, safe source of energy. And we now know that it's not all that safe. So when he was saying that this is clean and safe, I know that there's an element of truth that it's safer, but is it, you know, with that much energy on your hands, is it really?
Imagine. Well, it probably is until things go wrong. Hey, what was that? You
well
know, for
said,
all the things that, you know, for, hey, by the way, for all the things that Star Trek got right.
Yes.
You know, predicting really everything from the Bluetooth earpieces to, you know, tricorders, you know, communication devices, all that stuff. I was watching The Voyage Home, and, you know, they're talking about recrystallizing the dilithium crystals, and Spock says, well, until the fusion era, you know. I'm pretty sure he said, I can't remember if he said fission or fusion. I was like,
well, they already had fission in the 80s.
Huh?
He must have said fusion because.
Yeah, because he was
they
thinking.
Had nuclear fission in the 80s,
yeah,
and that's why they were on board collecting. The
yeah,
particles.
He said it was widely used until the fusion era.
Yep.
And I was like, I think that's exactly what he said. I was like, oh, boy. Anyway.
Here we go.
and what can you do?
All right. We are going to, what can we do? We can take a quick break.
Oh, good. It's all the pressure, yeah. Man.
We need a quick respite. We'll be right back with Hacks of Strange Stories and Remember When. I think even a Geek Library. So stick around.
Greetings, programs.
And applications.
I'm Ben.
And I am Keith, and we are
the Two Gay Geeks. We are the nerds behind TG Geeks Webcast,
where we talk about sci-fi,
comics,
film,
horror,
genre.
You name it, we talk about it.
We release an episode every Monday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern.
You can find us on iTunes, Blueberry, Spreaker, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Also, look us up on YouTube. And of course,
we can be found at tggeeks.com, where you can find not only our webcast,
but articles about other geeky goodness.
So come along for the wildest ride in the potosphere.
Did you just say potosphere?
This is Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica, Tom Zarek, and the original Captain Apollo, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
And in the words of Keith, every time he plays a promo, go give a listen to our friends Ben and Keith over at tggeeks.com.
Yes.
They are really interesting stuff. Talked to a lot of great content creators, and have been seeing some wonderful success on their show too. Their numbers are going up like crazy.
They've put in the effort.
Yes, they have, more so than we have, slackers.
And by the way, I'm not sure if you're having any internet trouble, but maybe Facebook. But I think some people are complaining about the live stream.
Are they? Because John Miller Jr. said some ISPs are having issues. No, Cox
okay.
out
and I'm trying to watch it too,
okay.
So I can watch the chat. But mine keeps saying interrupted. So.
Yeah. Oh, mine paused, but I may have done that. You know, and it always pauses when I have some goofy expression on my face, which is most of the time.
Well, that's a feature.
The goofy expression.
Yeah, there's a checkbox for that.
Checkbox.
Freeze on.
Freeze on. Yeah.
Last goofy fit.
I want that.
Yeah.
All right, we have a Hex of Strange Stories coming up. I believe it's your turn.
Yes, the Star Trek. Star Trek.
Whoa. We now do the topic is Treek. That's our other podcast. Go give it a listen at thetopicistreek.com.
Yeah.
You're off the show.
Star Trek. Yeah, Starfleet. I was looking at Fleet.
He mashed Star Trek and Starfleet.
Yeah.
Well, at least it came out to Starfeet.
Yeah, I started doing it again. Stop it. You're messing me up. The Starfleet logo has been spotted on Mars. So here on Earth, we're making big plans to send humans, the first humans to Mars, but it looks like Starfleet may have gotten here first. In the expanse of the Hebla Planitia, the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, has photographed a huge formation in the shape of the organization's famous Chevron logo. Enterprising viewers will make the discovery that that these features look conspicuously like our famous logo, says Ross Beyer of the University of Arizona. Wow, Arizona's big on this stuff. Actually, we mentioned Arizona several times in this episode in a statement accompanying the photo. Sadly, however, it is not evidence of intrepid explorers boldly going where no man has gone before. It's only a coincidence, he says.
It is only a coincidence. Tell us, what are these really?
Yeah, boomerangs on Mars. Actually, there's three of them.
They're giant hoof prints.
Yeah, hoof prints. But if you look at the larger picture, it's kind of backed out. You'll see there's actually three of them. So the wider shot shows several ghosts.
One for TOS, one for TNG. Yeah.
But they're really dunes, is what it looks like, is what they are. So these casts are called ghost dunes, although they are known here on Earth. And although they're known, their presence on Mars has only been recently explored. In the Hellas Planitia, there are around 300 of these formations, and further 480 have been spotted in a region called Noctis Labyrinthus. Excuse me, I was getting choked up there. Filled with a maze of valleys.
Okay, and of course, William Shatner had to chime in. He says, "Hey, at Star Wars, will you hurry up, your rebel scums? We beat you." And he pointed to the CNN article.
Yeah, I think him and Mark Hamill went back and forth a little bit about that. That was kind of funny.
That is funny. Interesting news. You never know what you're going to find. Some things familiar, some things not familiar.
Well, you know, for a long time, I was captivated by that face on Mars.
No.
You weren't?
No.
Never.
I looked at it and went, it's a blurry picture, could be anything. And as it turns out, it was a mountain range.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying when I first saw it, it captivated my attention. And I because you look at it and you go, what is this?
Everybody goes, what is it? It's not an alien carved face.
It looked kind of like it. It looked like an early Iron Man.
Pareidolia. Anyway. I can see faces in garbage bags, too.
Do you stare at your garbage bags to see faces?
When you go to the grocery store and you put your things in, you go to the self-checkout, and you put your things in the little brown plastic bag, and then you rip the bag off of the stand, there's a little tab left behind. And as they stack up, they have two holes and a little slit. And every once in a while, a group of them come off of it. And I think I did this when you were with me.
I was going to say, you pointed this out when we were at the store.
Right. There's pareidolia everywhere.
That's funny. Hey, by the way, side note, everybody. Yes. When I was with Chuck, we were driving from...
Careful how you phrase that.
Wait a minute. I was riding with Chuck. We were going from his house all the way to Las Vegas for our work conference. Well, I started thinking... Are we doing the same thing we've done every year that we've had to go to Vegas?
And no, I looked at. So didn't we do this last year? I said, yeah. It feels familiar, but we didn't stop for breakfast at the same place.
Well, you know, I looked at Google Maps location.
Tracking. And they have a timeline feature in there, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And I keep that on because I like, sometimes I'll go back and look at it. And sure enough, I looked at it a year ago. It was pretty much the same thing we did the year before.
And we didn't remember it. It's just we had deja vu for about 20 minutes going.
Why do we feel like deja vu? Oh, it's because we did do this last year.
Craig says, oh, can we stop at a Starbucks? I said, yeah, let me look at Google Maps. Oh, there's one just up and around the corner. We get
in the grocery store.
It was really familiar. Oh, it's the same one. We're getting old and forgetful. Thank you, Google Maps, for protecting our our memories.
Yeah, when I wander off and my family goes, where have you been? Here you go.
You went around block four times? What?
Yeah. I don't know.
All right, let's give a shout out to our chat room, even though Facebook is being interrupted. Oh, man, I've lost like half the history on this thing. Most of the history.
Well, I see Mark Truble. I see
Craig James Glasner, John Miller Jr., Scott Tyler.
Yep.
Who else is watching now?
You. Hi. Craig Glasner. You say Craig? Yep.
Yep, saw Craig. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of this live video interrupted.
Man, you know, it could be...
I'm thinking it's Facebook.
I might have to stop it. I can't distract me.
I think it's Facebook. I blame them.
Okay,
it's easier.
Fine.
Well, we don't have the same ISP.
No, that's true.
So the commonality, and John Miller Jr. even said, there's problems going on all the time.
Actually, he's got the same one I do.
Okay. Well,
pretty sure.
Alrighty, we'll see. I don't know what Craig's got, but
Comporium, the local.
Okay, well, there you go. We do this show 9:30 Eastern time on Sunday nights when we can. I know work has gotten involved a lot lately, but the future calendar looks pretty clear for the next several weeks or even a couple of months. And as
for a couple of days. A
couple of days. You never know. Work likes to stick things on my calendar a couple weeks in advance. Hey, we need you over here. But oftentimes it's not be there Monday morning. That's kind of a rarity. But we did have our conference in May. We had some time off. I was working remotely for a while. Back in the driver's seat and things are working well. We hope to see you there. Set your calendar or subscribe to the Technorama podcast page on Facebook and you'll get that alert when we go live. And then, we'll share it. So if you're friends with one of us, you should find out one way or another. We hope to see you there. Let's do a quick remember when on... Apollo. We're back at NASA. Cool. So, did you have the last one? Who had the last one?
Yeah, I did.
You did. You had the Starfleet logo. So, I get the NASA. You can see a forgotten NASA Apollo 11 crew photo that was found at the bottom of a box.
Yes.
It's customary for NASA astronauts to snap a few glamour pics ahead of a big mission. And it didn't get much bigger than 1969's Apollo 11 mission to land humans on the moon. Command module pilot Michael Collins rediscovered an old photo in his famous crew and shared it on Twitter on Thursday. So there, of course, is Buzz Aldrin. And what's his name? Neil, what's his name? And sadly, the only signature on this picture, they're leaning up against a 6-foot diameter moon. Sadly, the only signature on here is Michael Collins. Like he signed it and put it in the box.
Hey, by the way,
it's in really good shape.
Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, and Collins.
That's what I said. What's his name?
But they were struggling. It sounded like you were struggling to figure out somebody's name.
Nobody struggles for Neil Armstrong's name. I was joking.
No. Or Buzz Aldrin, I would argue.
The crew found this at the bottom of a box. Don't think it was ever used by NASA, Collins wrote. The exact photo doesn't seem to appear on the NASA website, but you can find other poses from the same shoot. Ah.
Hey, Michael, put your arm around the moon.
Well, you know what's funny is that when I saw this picture... When I saw this picture, I was like, I don't think it looks like they're kind of goofing a little bit because he's got his arm up on the moon like he's relaxing on it.
That was another recent movie. All right, who's giving me a narration on this page?
Mute there. The site. Right click on the tab.
Too late. I just closed the tab. There was another recent movie about Neil Armstrong. Was it called First Man?
Yes, I do want to see that.
That
yes.
was a good one, too. Saw that on the planes.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. See, movies are good to catch up on.
Think that was,
planes are
I think that was before we went to Israel, but it could have been on the Israel. I don't know. There's just been so much plane time in the last couple of months.
Right.
So that was a good movie. Also, put that on your list. So part of the Remember When, quick thank you to our patrons, because we have some new patrons. Go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast if you want to be part of this crew. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You people keep the show running, the software upgraded, the bandwidth going. Can't thank you enough. And
the beer flowing
as well. Not so much the beer. So in no particular order, Kyle Nishioka. Thank you very much. He's been there from the beginning when we first started up the Patreon stuff. Abner Braverman. Didn't get to meet up with him in Israel, unfortunately, but maybe there'll be another opportunity sometime. Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Mega Podtastic, that'd be Crazy Joe, who called in earlier in the show. Night Gig Studios, Gary Lindros, John Clifford, Leon, John Noble. John Noble.
Okay.
And I've been seeing him a lot on the show Elementary, and he was even on an episode of Stargate 1. He just pops up all over the place.
And we'll see him at Dragon Con again.
Is he going to be there?
No, I don't know.
We should find out and get a picture with him.
Wait. Not that John Noble.
Well, yeah, we need to capture that. If we get a picture with him, not our John Noble.
Yeah, right.
That would be cruel. Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, thank you very much. Jorga Schrawin, Mr. Postcard Man. And you know, postcard and podcast are just off by one letter. John Miller Jr., Amber Elstad, Harold McKinstry. Some of these names we thought were brand new just a little while ago. They're already getting bumped down the list. Amy Bowen, Denise Inglis. Thank you. Thank you. Stephen Weshy. And R2. Where's my drum roll? I need a drum roll, not a rim shot. Dean Jensen, who's been listening for a very long time. Some of our veterans may remember him as Beaker. Yes. Beaker or Beaker 1? Trying to remember.
I haven't spoken to Dean in a long time.
And another veteran, Dan D. Mann. I remember him every time he comes up on the birthday calendar, which is once a year. Dan D. Mann Coyer, thank you very much to our new Patreon contributors. You all get special content that nobody else gets. And
by the way, there's one empty slot. There's one of you slot right there. It can be yours today.
For as little as a dollar a show, you can get that empty slot. But I want
to
just drive
half price, but,
Craig's OCD crazy. Put in two.
Yeah. Put in two, and then we got to fill in that next row.
You and your spouse, just let's drive Craig's OCD crazy.
Yeah, right.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Can't say it enough. All right. Out with the rock band Imperial March theme. And I believe our last article is the Geek Library.
The Geek Library.
So we have new theories. Now, when for the longest time, we thought gold came from a supernova. Big star collapses, boom, you get gold. Then, a couple of years ago, they said, no, it's really like two pulsars colliding. Two neutron stars colliding. And new Scotia man, go away.
Mute the site.
Right click tab, mute site. There.
Yeah. It won't play anymore.
Until I close that tab. So
it sticks.
Thought the fancy elements came from the collision of neutron stars? That's so 2017. It's been thought that valuable heavy elements like gold and platinum were created by massive cosmic collisions involving neutron stars or black holes. But a new finding suggests that the gold on your ring finger or in your electronics, might have really come from a rare supernova explosion that also gives birth to black holes in the process. The epic blast is called a, get this, collapsar.
Okay.
Sounds like a failed superhero.
Yeah, I know. I'm collapsar. I was drunk and,
my sidekick, faintless.
Yeah.
Phantom. The collapsar occurs when a very old and massive star collapses in on itself and implodes, leaving behind a brand new black hole. Physicist Daniel Siegel from the University of Guelph in Toronto worked with colleagues from Columbia University to model how collapsars eject heavy elements into the universe. Quote, 80% of these heavy elements we see should come from collapsars, Siegel said in a release. Collapsars are fairly rare in occurrence of supernova, even more rare than neutron star mergers. But the amount of material that they eject into space is much, much higher than that from neutron star mergers. A paper explanation, the result was published Thursday in the journal Nature. Next, the team would like to see its theoretical model backed by observations in the actual universe, perhaps by the upcoming James Webb Space Telescope, which we've mentioned on the show before, which should be able to detect signs of a collapsar forging heavy elements in a far-off galaxy. Looking forward to seeing that, see what backs it up. And I will be continuing to listen to Astronomy Cast to see what they have to say on the matter, too.
I'm curious. Okay, so if a neutron, if these neutron stars eject these heavy metals into space, I guess just every which way, would it just impact Earth enough where it's below the surface?
No, because it's not the neutron star is the current theory, and this is trying to displace it with these collapsars. And when you've got a big, like, blue giant star, and it goes, okay, I've had enough. I've burned out all my fuel. The gravity takes over because the internal, not combustion, but the fusion reaction that's blowing it, trying to blow it apart, is countered by the gravity, and the gravity starts to win because the fusion shuts down and it goes, and it's so massive that it creates a black hole, but it also goes boom and creates a supernova. And the material around the supernova can, and often does in these larger stars, starts to form other stars. So our own sun is like a second generation, maybe even third generation since the universe began. Because the big blue giant stars, they burn hot and they die fast. I often wondered, if a blue star is hotter than a red star, why don't our faucets have the hot water on the blue side?
It's the same reason the old electricians in my house put the light switch on the right side and the fan on the right, on the left. Bunch of idiots.
You have to label them then.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a technical gone sideways, but the other stuff that's out there that got ejected from this big explosion is where those heavier elements come from, because the star itself can't form those by combining atoms to atoms until you get to iron.
How is gold embedded into the Earth?
When all that stuff is floating around in space and it starts to swirl and make planets, well, it's also combined with uranium and iron and nickel and silicon and all these other elements, and the heavier ones sink to the center because uranium is heavier. And that's what's heating our core, is this nuclear reaction, or this nuclear decay, I should say, nuclear decay of these heavy elements in the core of our planet. That's why Mars doesn't have an atmosphere and doesn't have a magnetic field, because there's no molten stuff going on in the middle. So the gold is not as heavy, so it's not going to sink to the middle. So it's swirling around out there, and when you get a volcano, it starts to bring it to the surface. And through erosion, it erodes off of the mountain, and you often find it in streams. So when you're mining gold, you're going to find it in these veins in the rock that formed when it was through volcanology. I'm not doing this justice. I could do better with pictures. But there's some great science podcasts out there if you want to find out. Where does gold come from?
I do better with pictures, too.
Yeah. Which, that was my second topic for the Patreon show. Okay. I got to remember that.
Okay.
Not volcanology, but it was all about descriptions and discussions. So that is a very cool, keep reading the article. It's available from CNET.com. We encourage you to go over there. And I think we are out, except for our closing question. Lay it on us, man.
So, if you can acquire a skill, Matrix style...
Like just plug in a USB port into my head and download something? Okay.
What would you want? What's the first thing, really, you'd want to learn?
I know. I'm not going to tell you here. I'm going to tell you next week. But I got my answer. It would also be my superpower.
Hey, I want to know how to make crepes properly.
Make crates?
Crepes.
Crepes? Like a little... Wow, that's awesome, Craig. We're going to spend billions on research so you can make crepes.
I know how to make crepes and other pastries. Whoa.
You can bend the matrix to your will. I'm going to add blueberries.
Right. You want fries with that?
Okay. So the viewers have it. We want to hear what you got. What knowledge would you like to be able to just download and learn without having to go through a long learning process? That would be cool. Okay. That takes us to the end, I believe. I think we have to play our out music. Oh, there it is.
There he is.
We appreciate you suffering through the bumps and hiccups as we go through this, and maybe even some ISP issues or Facebook issues. You can find all of our information over at chuckchat.com/technorama. We'd love to hear from you. You can call our listener line, 707-530-2428. That's 707-530-CHAT. To get in touch with us like Crazy Joe did. If you've got a comment or correction or can explain where gold comes from better than I can, lay it on us. We're willing to include you in on the show. And once again, thank you to our Patreon people who have contributed. We will get recording right after this, and you'll actually get that Patreon show before you get this one. So, bit of a timey-wimey switcheroo on you. Subscribe to our Facebook page. Like us on YouTube. It's all over the place. You know where to go. Until next time, Craig, do you remember how to do the binary high five?
I don't know. It's been a while. 101.
Thank goodness for that post-it note on your monitor.
I know, right? I'm going to take it off right here.